Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies.
It's a sad day, but it brings back an incredible amount of good memories. Today, America and the world, in my view, lost a remarkable leader. He was a statesman and humanitarian. And Jill and I lost a dear friend. I've been hanging out with Jimmy Carter for over 50 years, it dawned on me. And I had countless conversations with him over those years.
Well, obviously the big news from yesterday was the passing of former President Jimmy Carter, commemorated last night with about a 10-minute speech by current President. Of course, Joe Biden talking about his long-term five-decade friendship, one of the earliest people to endorse President Carter back when he made his run for president as the governor of Georgia at the time.
I always would be proud to say that he used to kid me about it, that I was the first national figure to endorse him in 1976 when he ran for president. And there was an overwhelming reason for it, his character.
And I would say that's the thing that I think everybody agrees about. Everybody acknowledges that Jimmy Carter was a decent person, was a outspoken advocate of faith, taught Bible study as long as he possibly could throughout his life, of course, did all kinds of charitable endeavors. And the people that endorse or affirm or feel great loss about Jimmy Carter feel it because of his personhood, because of who he was as a man, as American. There's a different question about him as a president. We'll talk about that a little bit.
What I find extraordinary about Jimmy Carter, though, is that millions of people all around the world, all over the world, feel they lost a friend as well, even though they never met him. And that's because Jimmy Carter lived a life measured not by words, but by his deeds.
And the things that he did in his private life as a former president were, admittedly, sometimes annoying that he would interject himself into international politics in ways that were not desired by the administration, but also in, of course, all kinds of other ways. His charitable work, his foundation, the work to certify elections, the work to, help the homeless, all of these things, amazing life of generosity.
Just look at his life, his life's work. He worked to eradicate disease, not at home, not just at home, but around the world. He forged peace, advanced civil rights, human rights, promoted free and fair elections around the world. He built housing and homeless for the homeless with his own hands. And his compassion and moral clarity lifted people up and changed lives and saved lives all over the globe.
And I think that's the thing that, again, nobody disagrees about.
I'll always cherish having seen Jimmy and Rosalynn Carter together. Theirs was a love affair of the ages. While we'll miss them both dearly, they do take some solace, and our kids were saying it, that they're united once again. We're going to remain forever in our hearts, but they're together again.
So having a long-standing marriage, being an outspoken evangelical Christian, an advocate for the faith, an embodier of the gospel in those ways, no question. And I tell you, I really had to struggle a lot with what I wanted to say. You know, I really went back and forth a lot with what I wanted to say this morning about former President Carter, because the man passed away. And yet, it's a really mixed bag of what he did. As a man, as a former president, and kind of a pariah among the presidents, there's this very famous photo of him in the Oval Office where, you know, Bush, Clinton, Obama, and who was the fourth one? All of a sudden, I can't think of it. Was it Trump? Maybe, I just can't remember. The four, it might not have been Trump. Might have been before that, H.W. Bush. Anyway, the four of them on one side and Carter kind of at a distance, not next to them, sort of, you know, maybe a foot away or whatever. And that's kind of the reality of it. He was the president during the time of the, you know, massive inflation. He was a president during a time of great international turmoil. He was a president when the hostages were taken and, you know, bungled attempts to recover them. You know, the Soviets invaded Afghanistan during his tenure. Roe versus Wade happened, you know, right before he had gotten elected. He barely beat Gerald Ford. Not, Roe versus Wade is not his fault. I'm just saying, you know, understand the turmoil that was going on at the time he got elected. Gerald Ford, massive popularity dip because he pardoned Nixon. And, you know, Ford barely beat Reagan in the primaries in 76. And so a really, really weakened candidate, Ford, who himself had never been elected, right, because he was appointed after Spiro Agnew resigned, and Nixon, of course, resigned, and then he pardoned Nixon. And then in 76, he barely beats Ford, who had barely beaten Reagan. And then, of course, in 80, he just got demolished by Reagan the first time. And then Reagan, of course, landslide victory. Only Mondale only won one state, his home state, in, you know, 84. One of the most ineffective presidents in all of American history. To me, I think you can't be, like I said, I really trying to decide what I wanted to say about him this morning. And I think what I've decided is just tell the truth. And the truth is that Jimmy Carter is a fantastic example of the principle that just being a good man is not enough to be a good president. And that even sometimes the best of humans make terrible presidents. That's his legacy. Now, people have been sort of more kind to him in retrospect about some of the things that happened during his presidency. You say, well, Andrew, I mean, he's 100 years old. This is 4 years of his life. Yeah, but the reason we're commenting on his passing is not for all of his humanitarian work. It's because he's a former president. And to pretend like it's not true, the kind of president that he was, would be, I hate to say it this way, but if the man stood for principles and morals and virtue, and he did, then what kind of man like that would want you to lie about who he was and what he did badly? I don't mean to get into all the details, but it would be inappropriate to misrepresent the truth about Jimmy Carter's presidency as a way of honoring a man who stood for truth and honesty and decency. And, you know, it's just, there's something about that that's inappropriate as well. So we've lost a former president. That's a momentous day in America. He was only 19 years older than our current president. I mean, you know, you heard Biden last night talk about how they were contemporaries for a long time, and he has great memories of him. And I agree that as a man, as an example, as a liver of the faith, fantastic. And if he hadn't been president, we'd only have good things to say about him. But then there's the other thing as well.
Sir, what is your fondest memory of Jimmy Carter?
I have a number of them. I guess maybe my fondest memory of Jimmy Carter was when he grabbed me by the arm and said, I need you to help me in my campaign. And I said, I've only been around a couple years, Mr. Governor. He said, no, it'll make a difference. I said, I'm not sure it will. He said, no, it will. When I endorsed him for president, I told him why I was endorsing him, and that it was not only his policies, but his character, his decency, the honor he communicated to everyone. And but he was also very, very, he and Rosen were very kind to Jill and me when we lost our son, Bo. They were there for us. And I don't know, it's a
longest living president, longest presidential marriage, all, you know, the things that he did in his private life were, I agree with Biden about this.
I think that what Jimmy Carter is an example of is just simple decency. Simple decency. And I think that's what the rest of the world looks to America for.
Yeah, I agree. And I honestly, on his passing, I wish that were the sum total of it. You know, I wish that were everything that was appropriate to say. Because when he spoke about matters, and I don't agree with him about a lot of things. That's not the issue. Just wish you didn't have to be honest about the other stuff in talking about a former president. Because when he would talk about matters of kindness, generosity, helping the poor and the weak, completely agree. What a stellar example.
The bond of our common humanity is stronger than the divisiveness of our fears and prejudices. God gives us a capacity for choice. We can choose to alleviate suffering. We can choose to work together for peace. We can make these changes, and we must.
Amen. Jimmy Carter passes away at 100 years old. 521 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Haven't seen you around the gym for a while.
Yeah, I've really fallen off. Since I turned 40, I just don't get the results I used to get.
Could be lower testosterone.
Lower T?
Yeah, I went through it a while back. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone. I got Nugenix Total T, and it's made a huge difference for me.
I've seen that ad on TV. Is it for real?
Oh, yeah. The key ingredient is something called Tesnor, which helps boost free and total testosterone levels to help you trim up and stay lean.
And it's made a difference for you?
Man, I feel like I'm in my 20s again. At work, in the gym, and in the bedroom.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try it for themselves?
Yeah, you just need to send them a text.
Text PECK to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T, the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text PEC to 321-321. That's PECK to 321-321.
Let's get to the points. MasterCard reward points from Pinair Credit Union. Open a new account today and you can earn 20,000 free reward points in the first 90 days. Use those points for travel, merchandise, even cash back. And with no hidden fees and no balance transfer fees, Pinair's reward MasterCard fits you perfectly. Get started online at pinair.org/creditcards. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions may apply. Offer available on new accounts only. See website for details.
Naval Air Station Pensacola has a significant economic impact in our area. It employs more than 16,000 military and 7,400 civilian personnel, and the headquarters for Naval Education Training Command, a command which combines direction and control of all Navy education and training. There's a lot more you can know by tuning in this morning at 9 and hear what's happening at NAS Pensacola on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Local talk during your morning and afternoon drive. Local news every hour on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
If you don't love this song by Rick Springfield, we're not as close as you think we are.
Love is all right tonight.
I only wish I had long enough hair. 524 here on News
Radio
92.3.
I really love the air guitar. I mean, if y'all could have seen it, he was jamming with his air guitar.
Oh, it's all dance, all day, all the time. That's the one thing Bobby Ross and I have absolutely in common. We love to enjoy the bumper music and other things, too. But that we have super in common. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Good morning. Well, it is still unclear what caused a deadly plane crash in South Korea Sunday. It could take weeks to get the data from the plane's black boxes. The Jeju Air flight from Bangkok was carrying about 181 people when it skidded off a runway and then crashed into a barrier at the airport, bursting into flames. Two people were rescued so far. They're saying 179 people were killed.
It's crazy. And apparently, like, no effort to slow the plane. Flaps didn't come down.
It looks like the landing gear didn't deploy.
So what you wonder, of course, is, you know, were the pilots, did something happen to the pilots? Did there something happen to the mechanisms that would control these things?
It was almost like they didn't know the landing gear was even malfunctioning because they were hovering right above the runway like they were looking for a normal landing. It's so strange.
It's a very, very scary story. Yeah, no, absolutely. Basically right off the end of the runway, had there not been something to run into, you know, maybe they would have been okay. But you can understand at semi-full speed, you know. Anyway, you were going to say.
Absolutely. Well, and then there were two or three other weird landing gear type incidents that weren't this at this level, but, over the weekend as well. There were just other various things that happened. Mm. A 67-year-old homeless man was critically injured after being found on fire in New York at Penn Station on Friday night. Police were alerted to that by a passerby. The victim suffered burns to their legs and upper body. The New York Post is reporting the man told cops that he was asleep and just woke up on fire. It remains unclear what happened there. And Congress starts work later this week with both chambers in session for the first time in the new year. The swearing in of the 119th Congress is set for January 3rd. Their first order of business will be picking a new House Speaker.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. By the way, that picture I was talking about with President Carter was George H.W. Bush, Obama, George W. Bush, and Bill Clinton sort of together, and then Carter kind of on the other side. A couple of people texted in on the subject of Jimmy Carter. One person says, 437-1620, Carter was not a good president, but he was a great post-president. He went back to doing the quiet good works he did before his time in office. As a governor of a small state, he was ill-prepared to lead post-Nixon, post-Vietnam America, and his best efforts fell short. They were his genuine best efforts. I agree with that. I agree with that assessment. Somebody else said Jimmy Carter's legacy came after his presidency. I think he was a horrible president, but he was a wonderful human being, and may he rest in peace. Again, agreed. Yeah, I completely agree with that assessment. 527 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. What else do we have going on? A lot of people died over the weekend, actually. Brian Gumbel passed away. Laura Dorch Edler, the longtime teacher and school board one-term school board member, she passed away. And there was a model who passed away. There was just a lot of very, seemed like many deaths over the weekend, famous or, well-known people anyway. 437-1620 in politics in Florida. We've had now a second Florida House member decide that she doesn't want to be a Democrat anymore. The Democratic Party in Florida is imploding. And it's not just the in Florida part. It's in Florida as a representative of national. But here you have State Rep Hillary Cassell, who has, Democrat. And then all of a sudden she says, I can't represent this party anymore. She says, quote, as a mother, I want to help build a world where our children are judged on their character and their actions, not on their labels. As a Jewish woman, she says she's felt increasingly troubled by the Democratic Party's failure to unequivocally support Israel and frustrated by the party's willingness to tolerate extreme progressive voices that justify or condone acts of terrorism. She says, I'm constantly troubled by the inability of our current Democratic Party to relate to everyday Floridians. I can no longer remain in a party that doesn't represent my values. I know I won't always agree on every detail with every Republican, but I do know that I will always have input, collaboration, and respect. The House Republican Conference empowers members to find common sense solutions to real issues facing all Floridians. And, of course, earlier this month, you may not remember, but earlier this month, State Representative Susan Valdez, she also left the Democratic Party in similar expression, saying that she grew tired of being the party of protesting. She got into politics to be part of the party of progress and, quote, I know that I won't agree with my fellow Republican members on every issue, but I know that in their caucus, I will be welcomed and treated with respect. Isn't that an interesting couple of statements about the nature of the Democratic and the Republican caucuses in Florida? Now, there's more to this than just what they're saying. And the more to this than just what they're saying is it's almost a three-quarters majority, I think, in the state house and two-thirds in the Senate. And the truth of it is that if you're a Democrat in the state of Florida, you can't get anything done. You're going to be lucky to get your bills heard. You're not going to get your bills passed. I mean, it would be unbelievable if you did. And so I think, in a way, this is just, you know, reading the situation and being smart in the circumstances and deciding that, you know what, I'm not saying they're lying about any of the things that they're saying. I think they're accurate expressions. But I think it'd be different if they were leaving the majority party to join the minority. You know what I mean? Like, if they were leaving and you couldn't see any sort of political benefit to it. But there's clearly political benefit in the state of Florida to moving to be Republicans. Now, you know, Cassell was unopposed. So, you know, she can do whatever she wants. You know, but it's a... Man, if you're a Democrat in the state of Florida, you just... It's rough days. I'll just put it that way. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm Andrew McKay.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi.
My name is Jimmy Carter, and I'm running for president.
Jimmy Carter has died at the age of 100, rising from the Georgia farmland to become the 39th president of the U.S. On a promise of healing the wounds of Watergate and Vietnam, President Biden was the first Democratic senator to endorse that 1976 bid for the White House.
When I endorsed him for president, I told him why I was endorsing him, and that it was not only his policies, but his character, his decency. The honor he communicates to everyone.
A state funeral will be held for Carter January 9th. President Biden declared it a national day of mourning. The U.S. sending a team of investigators from the NTSB to South Korea after that devastating plane crash. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne right now. It is clear. We've got 52 degrees in Pensacola this morning. Police in Crestview investigating a bank robbery that happened on Friday. It was at the First National Bank in Crestview. Witnesses described the suspect as a black male wearing a ski mask with a gray sweatshirt and a fluorescent safety vest. They demanded money and then fled on foot and eventually in a small SUV, police asking for help in identifying that person. A 40-foot sperm whale washed ashore over the weekend in Fort Morgan. The massive whale was found Sunday morning. Officials say that it has now been removed from the beach. Tests are being done to determine its cause of death. The animal will be buried on the beach once testing is done in a few days. The estimated weight of the whale was about 30,000 pounds. Escambia County commissioners are seeking applications from county residents that are interested in serving on the Escambia Children's Trust. Board. One seat in that 10-member board is currently vacant. Four members have terms set to expire at the end of the month. To be considered for that appointment, you need to submit a completed Escambia Children's Trust application and questionnaire for gubernatorial appointments. All forms would be due by 5 p.m. on Thursday, January 9th. There is bipartisan praise for Jimmy Carter. The former president died yesterday at 100 years old. Republican Senator Rick Scott writing on X that through his decades of public service and charitable work, Carter devoted his entire life to serving others, the Florida Democratic Party, calling Carter the living embodiment of democratic values. They say he used his platform to champion for universal human rights. A man hurt after being shot by a police officer in Tampa, the TPD releasing details of a shooting on Saturday. According to the police, the 38-year-old man threatened to shoot an officer, and when he reached in his pocket, he was shot three times. He was taken to a hospital. He's currently in critical but stable condition. Police have not identified the officer who shot the man, but they say he's a 46-year-old that started with Tampa Police last year. Reserve officers are volunteers trained to provide additional personnel for emergencies or events. A couple people in South Florida have some personal ties to Jimmy Carter. Former State Representative Elaine Bloom says she got to know Carter and his wife after he was elected president in 1976. She says the Carters were wonderful, dedicated Americans, and Jimmy was a beautiful, fine man. Former Broward County Democratic Chair Mitch Caesar worked on Carter's presidential campaign. He tells CBS News Miami that Carter was a great civil rights activist, and he'll remember him for having a good heart. It's 534 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to be seeing a beautiful day today with temperatures warming up into the upper 60s for highs, plenty of sunshine. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 59 degrees. Keeping the sunny weather around on that Tuesday, high near 72. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 45 degrees. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. Right now, 52 degrees in Pensacola, 53 in Gulf Breeze, 48 in Milton. Our next news at 6 o'clock, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Treasury yields were slightly lower this morning as the final trading days of the year are underway. The yield on the 10-year Treasury was down by more than one basis point to 4.6031%. trading just below multi-month highs recorded last week. Two family films dominated the holiday box office this week. Paramount's Sonic the Hedgehog 3 earned $38 million, while Mufasa brought in $37.1 million, according to studio estimates. And more from the entertainment sector. It's official. Wicked has pulled ahead of Mamma Mia to become the top-grossing film based on a Broadway musical. Wicked has grossed just over $634 million worldwide since it opened late last month. Mamma Mia grossed just over $611 million worldwide following its 2008 release. Futures are slightly lower. Friday, the Dow Industrials lost 107, the NASDAQ down 49, the S&P 500 down 15. That's Your Money Now.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Mary on Demand is live. Start your marijuana education journey today and learn more with Mary on Demand. Take the self-guided education series at your own pace. You'll decide what you'd like to learn and when. Visit mary.famu.edu to learn more. That's mmeri.famu.edu. Mary, educate, learn, talk.
In the world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand these complications and have your back. Join us this Wednesday at 10 o'clock on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us this Wednesday on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10 on News Radio 1620 92.3 FM.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
You think you got the best of me, think you've had the last laugh, bet you think that everything good is gone. Think you left me broken down, think that I'll come running back. Baby, you don't know me cause you're dead wrong. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Stand a little taller, doesn't mean I'm lonely when I'm alone. What doesn't kill you makes a fighter. What's that fever?
If you really look at anything new we're doing, any new construction that you're going to see or you hear me talk about, almost 100% of it, I'd have to go back and look and see, but almost 100% of it is grant funded. And why that's important is because I continue to keep the promise that we need to maintain the things that we have. So when we're making difficult decisions within our budget about the general fund dollars that our property owners and our city residents pay us, I think the top priority for those should be to maintain the assets that we already have. So when you see Hollis T. Williams, when you see some of these other projects, American Magic, for example, those are the vast majority of the funding of that, if not 100%, is from new money that has allowed us, that we have won on an application to be able to move forward. But with existing dollars, we have completely reprioritized maintaining and fixing and repairing the things that we have.
Yeah, we're going back a little bit on this. I'm trying to clear as much stuff off my plate as I've had by the end of the year. But this is going back to the State of the City address that D.C. Reeves gave. And I love this perspective that he's spending the budget on trying to, like, figure out which existing things need to be kept and maintained and how much that's going to cost, which has been a big bugaboo for him, of course. I mean, not his fault, but, you know, he's trying to solve it. But when it comes to building new things or ribbon cutting new things, that's really coming from grants and trying to fund that stuff from, you know, sources that are outside of the general revenue. And he says, look, I think we've had this idea in Pensacola about accepting a kind of, I will say, sort of mediocre status of public infrastructure. And that's got to change. We've got to have more of a spirit of excellence.
And I put it anecdotally this way, and I think if anybody who lives here can appreciate this. We need to change the feeling that when you go to a park in the city that the water fountain isn't going to work. And we need it to be, you'd be surprised if it doesn't work, or that you'd be surprised if the bench isn't fixed. That isn't anything that our Parks and Rec department has done. That isn't over the years. That isn't, it starts here, and we have to reemphasize and prioritize fixing the things that we have.
No, I completely agree with that. And, you know, I hadn't realized that I had had a little bit of that expectation myself, but as soon as he said, I'm like, oh God, yeah. Like, I mean, some things are just hard to keep working properly. Splash pads, notoriously hard to keep working properly. But, you know, the splash pad down at Plaza Luna is one of these things like, I mean, oh, it's working. And that isn't a good state to be in. He also had some thoughts about the sports complex, the Cantonment proposal, also the Bay Center kind of all connected together.
You're asking my opinion as the mayor of the city of Pensacola, then having that facility be on off 10 Mile Road doesn't bring a lot of value to the city. I was a sports writer. I'm a sports guy. It's nothing to do with the use. It's the location. And what we know is if you put that up on 10 Mile Road, where is everybody going to stay? They're either going to stay on 9 Mile Road or they're going to stay at the beach. And now, so we'll be a good freeway for everybody through our town to go up there and go out to the beach, but we're not going to see the return on investment. So I certainly support a amenity like that. I think that would be good for our community and good for economic development. But I strongly support that that be located somewhere near the Bay Center.
It is kind of an interesting observation, though, because you would see, you know, through the city, but not for the benefit of the city, except for maybe restaurants or something like that. But, you know, the beach would get its bed tax revenue, and then 10-mile vicinity would get whatever it gets. So from the county's perspective, right, that's where you see it. This is probably a dead letter anyway. I mean, this doesn't look like it's going anywhere, and Stephen Bear doesn't seem to have any interest in continuing to push what I had thought was his massive, you know, like, kind of personal vanity project to get this thing done. And we haven't really heard any rumblings of it in a couple of months. When I had him on the show for the wrap a couple of months ago, his basic answer was, well, you see, it hasn't been brought forward, right? And now that he's not even really the driver of the majority with Jeff Bergosh losing his reelection bid, I would think this project is dead for 10 Mile, but, you know, who knows, right?
My strong suggestion is that $60 or $70 million be used to repair the Bay Center or put any type of mixed-use facility at the Bay Center and then spend 20, basically flip what's been proposed. And then if there's some economic development, sports development project that would need to happen out at 9 Mile Road for $20 or $30 million, whether that be new fields, whether that be a field house, something like that.
Yeah, in the grand scheme of putting $100 million out there, where should the share go? Well, Bay Center seems to be the key. Why? Well, because the Bay Center is a need, and it's actually in, you know, cosmetically terrible, but underneath, you know, actually quite good shape.
How can I sit up here and say my priority is to fix things that we need to have fixed? I've never had anybody come to me and say, wow, look at the condition of the Bay Center. It's unbelievable. I've never had anybody say that. why aren't we fixing it? Why are we saying let's go build something new when we all agree that, including the operators? I mean, it's not, there's nothing they're doing. You know, it's a 42-year-old building. We've got to do something with it.
But I thought his comments about the Bay Center were particularly on target.
And I'll also say one misperception is that anybody who says we should knock it down, that won't happen. And what I mean is what you're looking at is a massive multi-million dollar overhaul. But the bones, from my understanding, are good. So people are like, well, why don't you just bulldoze it and start new? Well, because that would be $400 million. You know, that is not a feasible thing. But there are many projects all over the country where you wouldn't even, if we were to invest that amount of money into the Bay Center, you wouldn't know it wasn't new. I mean, you know, in other words, there's lots of technology where they can enhance it. They can change. You could have higher end seating. You could do suites in there. All these different things that you could do within the confines of that Bay Center where you wouldn't even recognize it, but you'd still have those same bones that would have cost you $150 million to recreate. So that's neither here nor there, but just when you're talking about it over coffee or whatever, there is no scenario that makes any financial sense whatsoever where you would bulldoze the Bay Center. You would just repurpose or overhaul it completely.
We'd still know that it's not new. No, but that's just because we live here. The point is that you can do it in such a way that you wouldn't really even be able to tell. And again, I agree with that. All of that makes sense. 5:45 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. We'll be back in just a moment.
This holiday season, you can give the gift of hope, stability, and a brighter future. Pensacola Habitat for Humanity is creating lasting change by providing affordable home ownership opportunities right here in Escambia and Santa Rosa counties. Together, they can change lives for generations to come. Your end-of-the-year gift not only builds homes, it builds hope. And with tax season approaching, it's a gift that gives back to you, too. Visit PensacolaHabitat.org and give today, because everyone deserves a place to call home.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Who do you favor in the Virginia Slims tournament?
In women's tennis, I always root against the heterosexual.
That's all I have to say about that. 5:46 here on News. Oh, this is so good, though.
Darkness at the break of noon. Shadows even the silver spoon. The handmade blade, the child's balloon. Eclipses both the sun and moon. Do you understand? You know too soon. There is no sense in trying.
Roger again. Oh, such good stuff. 5:47 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Happy New Year's Eve, Eve.
Wait, New Year's Eve?
Right, isn't it?
Okay.
I mean, today is the 30th, and tomorrow is New Year's Eve, and now is the day before New Year's Eve.
Eve,
yeah. Okay. It's New Year's Eve. NYEE, if you're abbreviating in your check register. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines, David. What's a check register, well, mommy? Yeah, exactly.
Happy New Year's Eve, Andrew. January 9th being declared a national day of mourning in honor of former President Carter. President Biden making that declaration following his death yesterday, calling on Americans to assemble in their respective places of worship that day to pay homage to Carter's memory.
In what day?
January 9th is what this is saying.
So 10 days from? Okay.
Yeah, okay. Something like that. Yeah. All right. Today, though, is a day of recovery and cleanup. Four people killed in severe storms across the South over the weekend. There were more than 30 tornadoes reported in six different states over the weekend, as far east as North Carolina and Georgia and as far west as Texas. At least two of those deaths were in Mississippi. And health and self-care apparently were the hot topics on social media this year, according to the healthcare job search website Salient Health. So this report not biased at all. The most Googled health questions.
We
in
have a study showing that the most important common thing that everybody talks about all the time is us.
Unbelievable, right?
What we do. What's your methodology? Don't ask questions.
You don't want to know. The most Googled healthcare questions, according to this website, were topics such as bronchitis, pneumonia, and strep throat, and whether they're contagious. And also, the all-important question, what is lupus?
Stop it. It's so weird. Can I just you and me talking, right, David?
Just yeah,
you and me?
Just us.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
If I ever use the expression self-care in anything but an ironic sense, please slap me. That's where I'm at.
Wait, you know, do I get permission?
It's a difficult job.
I'm talking
job,
to David but, now, John. Yeah. You're not invited to this party.
Oh. It's a difficult job, but somebody's got to do it. I'm here for you, Andrew.
Self-care, to me, is one of the most snowflakey expressions ever. The people who use it, the way it gets said, it's purely a millennial and younger kind of thing that think that I'm just doing a self-care day.
Well, you might be causing me to have a mental health day.
Yeah, I've made you have some anxiety now.
Yes.
And, you know, you're going to need some time off. I mean, what do you mean? I've worked 5 days straight. You mean you had a job?
Right. J-O-B.
Yeah. No, self-care is... It makes my skin crawl, that expression. Anyway, sorry, David. Go ahead. Were you done?
No, that's all I've got for right now.
I've embellished your stories completely now. So I apologize. All right, 550 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. What else we have going on here? Oh, speaking of this, no, because it's like kind of in the similar vicinity of where David was. I think this is a really interesting question. There is a global happiness study. Now, before you gag on that like subject, no, seriously, there's a global happiness study that is kind of in the works right now. They've basically over the last 6 months, they've asked 1,000 scientists from over 70 different countries to submit, or people have submitted proposals for the project to study what tools, tricks, tactics, strategies, methodologies, activities can a person engage in to create happiness. I mean, talk about a worthwhile thing to at least research. I mean, if you could actually come up with these are the five things, try them in order, you know, like that's pretty great as a question. They've now whittled this down in this month. They've whittled this down to 7 categories of interventions. 3 or 4 different approach in each one, and they're going to start testing this in what they're calling the Global Happiness Mega Study. Their goal is to recruit 30,000 people worldwide, volunteers randomly assigned to perform a short, sharp intervention from the list or a control group. You know, I guess I don't know what they're going to do for like placebos or whatever. Anyway, happiness intervention is designed to be no more than 25 minutes long. That's kind of long. And require no special equipment, everything from physical exercise such as yoga or interval training or body weight resistance training. Pfft, if they discover that physical exercise makes you happy, I'm out. Anyway, if only you did yoga, you'd be happy. May have to just be me. Anyway, people might call a loved one, behave in more extroverted ways, chat with an AI companion is one thing that might be on this list. It's all a little bit in flux right now, like they're building the study. According to Dr. Barnabas Sazi, the interventions can be done at home. People don't need anyone watching them or helping them. There was a very conscious decision to make it that way. I certainly hope that things like read a book or listen to music or pray are going to be on the list. Of course, I don't have any input in actually shaping this, but one would imagine it'd be pretty weird if those aren't on the list. But they're trying to just figure out. And it, by the way, interesting issue that is apparently true in the social science research about happiness, and I wasn't familiar with this, so I found it interesting. One of the shortcomings related to happiness research has been a bias against weird people, or not a bias against, but a bias involving weird people. You say, what is it? You're not talking about me, are you? No. Weird is, this cracked me up, weird is Western, educated, industrialized, rich, and democratic. And by democratic, they don't mean Democrat or Republican. They mean in, you know, you elect your representatives kind of governments. Meaning the bulk of the social science research on happiness has been done in North America, Europe, and Western nations. Meaning that what makes us happy, even if you could figure that out reliably, isn't necessarily the same as what would work in, say, you know, India, China, or, you know, other nations that don't fit that exact same profile. And they're hoping to escape that bias and create a kind of a study that would look worldwide and, you know, interculturally, interracially, and figure out, you know, hey, if you want to be happier, try these 5 things. I think it'll be fascinating. Now, if you knew that doing something like, I mean, I don't know, maybe it's taking a walk in nature. Now, if a social science study comes out, 30,000 people worldwide over 10 years discover that taking a walk in nature for 10 minutes a day makes you happier, would that be a surprise? You know, a lot of times social science research is kind of just tells you what any average non-idiot already knows. So it may not reveal anything particularly interesting. Although I still think if you found out that taking a 10-minute walk in nature worked for everybody, regardless of their religion, gender, race, culture, political, you know, like if that worked for everybody, that'd be kind of useful to know. But then again, don't you already know that? So, you know, I think it's going to be more interesting if we find out that, you know what, honestly, it's a Pez. If you have a Pez dispenser, everybody the whole world over, from Mombasa to Sao Paulo to Reykjavik, if you just give them a Pez dispenser, they get happier. You know? Like, that's where it gets to be interesting, what things you find out that everybody kind of looks at and thinks, I could see it, but I wouldn't have predicted it, right? Because if it comes back with, you know, walk the dog, read a book, pray, you know, moderate exercise. Duh! So, on the one hand, I think it's a really great idea to be researching this. I even agree with trying to avoid the weird bias. On the other hand, I would say my level of optimism that we're going to discover anything particularly groundbreaking, say it, not as much enthusiasm in that regard. 5:55 on News Radio 92.3. So I'm going to do this maybe one time. I'm probably not going to come back to this more than once. But did you watch any of the football over the weekend, any of the bowl games?
Yes.
There was only one.
I was glued to it.
In my opinion, there was only one bowl game really worth watching, and it was only worth watching for the first half.
A chance to go out there one last time with your team. Pretty cool to see Cam Ward suiting up.
Davey Martinez is his running back. We just learned Miami will be without. Ball got loose, and the ball is fought for it. It looked like Miami fell on it. Iowa State claims the Cyclones have it. The bottom of the pile, it's ISU.
So Iowa State playing Miami in the Pop-Tarts Bowl. Speaking of things that make you happy, Pop-Tarts. Pez dispensers, Pop-Tarts, and walks in nature. I think
there
that's,
you go. You
know, it's like a dating profile. Anyway, so first play of the game, they cough it up on a terrible snap, and Iowa State takes over, and they march right down and...
goal. Beck fires. It is caught. Sensational hands by Gabe Burkle.
Touchdown, Iowa State, 7-0. Miami, second chance to snap the football.
It's a single season record, 10 300-yard passing games for Ward. They try to run it against the Iowa State defense, and Davey Martinez is off to the races. 75 yards of deliciousness on the touchdown run by Martinez.
75 yards of deliciousness.
Delicious.
Anyway, so, and then it was 7-0, 14-7, sorry, 7-7, 14-7, 14-14, 21-14, 21-21, 28-21. It was a crazy 20 minutes. And then everything seemed to stop happening. And then Cam Ward decided to sit out the second half. It's a weird decision. It's weird. I thought it was cool that he played, and then I thought it was really uncool that he didn't keep playing. Although everybody said, like, the offense collapsed, you know, the Miami offense collapsed when he stopped playing. That's not true. The game was very, very close until the very end. Like, nothing happened until the last 5 minutes. And then, I forget now, I think Iowa State was down by 7, came back, Miami scored, and now Iowa State scored again in the last, like, and nothing happened after that. But you were telling me, I did not realize this, the backup quarterback for Miami was from?
Milton High School.
Name?
Emory Williams.
There you go. I didn't know that. So that shows you how little I was paying attention in the second half in detail. So,
but yeah, he's from Milton High School.
And they barely lost that game, but that's cool.
But it, yeah, if I was a Miami fan and I was at that game and paid all that money.
They already have half their people are sitting because they're going to the NFL, as Cam Ward will.
Right.
Obviously.
Right.
Actually, I don't know. Is Cam Ward senior, junior?
He's going to the NFL.
Well, I know that. I mean, yeah. I know he's on top. Carson Beck, by the way, declared over the weekend, Georgia. Mm-hmm. You know, so, and he's been injured, so he's out. He's not playing the rest of the college football playoff, which is, oh my God, the football over the next week. I'm going to watch so many games of football. Starting tonight, Lions are on Monday Night Football.
I'm proud of you.
This is going to be a lot of football this week.
Is it going to be live? Are you going to watch it live?
Oh, no. I don't have that kind of time.
Okay. Well, I'm just asking.
No. I watch my games on. I wait till it's done, and then I watch it on Fast Forward, and it takes me about 45 minutes. If it's a good game, it takes me an hour to watch a game. If it's a bad game, half hour, 20 minutes, you know, if it's boring, right? I don't watch boring games. If it's a blowout, no, we're done here. So. And gosh, there are so many games with the college football playoff. And we got to watch, what, there's four games, right? What, Friday, tomorrow or the day after? I forget now which day they're playing on, but plus the Rose Bowl, plus the Illinois in a full game. Like, a lot of football to watch. I'm not complaining. I'm excited. But no, I don't have 3.5 hours for every single one of these games.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most.